Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo!
What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Mr. Kyle Moores, and I am joined, as always, by my good brother, Mr. Ray Cash. Thank y'all for listening to another edition of the Outsider's Edge podcast right here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Y'all, we picked the greatest time to come back to the wrestling world in the history of ever, and we didn't even know. We were gifted with gold, Brother Rance. Gold. Y'all already know what we're talking about. We ain't even gonna give you no backstory because it's the only thing anybody's fucking talking about. We here to get these jokes in about CM Punk and the Elite. Ooh. Ooh, I laughed a good healthy laugh. Before you tell me your reaction, I just want to say this. We told y'all motherfuckers that the boys can't run the company. We told y'all motherfuckers that you can't let this happen. And here it is.
I've been trying to hold this shit in, dog. I've been trying so hard to fight. I have tried so hard.
Oh, my God. This motherfucker CM Punk coming out talking about,
yo, if anybody got a problem with it, you can come talk to me.
So they come talk to him, man. And next thing you know, motherfuckers are throwing chairs and biting people and shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Like, this man called a dude a stupid, dumb fucking fuck while eating muffins and cupcakes. Like, this is the wildest thing.
So, like, all right. With all due, you know, now that we got the initial chuckles out, we gonna get plenty of more chuckles in before it's all over, for sure. So, at the end of All Out, they're, you know, second biggest or biggest show of the year, depending on how you want to talk about it. They decided they're going to have a little press junket. Well, just a little press conference, you know. Let the people talk about what happened at the show. Let them promote the good things. All that fun shit. And honestly, it was an interesting show. We got on this show last week talking about when's the last time anybody saw MJF. We ready to put out an APB for this bitch. And he made his, like, return in, like, interesting fashion.
Very interesting. Very intriguing.
Yeah, he was the Joker, and like the Stokely Carmichael angle finally paid off.
Hathaway, but I'm gonna let you make it. Because we're laughing at Punk, I'm gonna let you make it.
Yeah, the Stokely
Hathaway. You're a history teacher, so I would expect you to say Carmichael. It's all good. You get it.
Yeah, so like that finally had some payoff to it. So like they had a decent show. It was not, you know, groundbreaking, but it was decent and it was worth like talking about. The first reporter introduces himself, doesn't even get into a question, introduces himself. Punk was ready.
Just can I give ahead. I want to give some backstory on that real fast. The first guy, and I want you to break it down the way you're breaking it down, but there, I've read a lot of Twitter chatter and articles, and people don't seem to understand the history between CM Punk, Colt Cabana, and Nick Houseman, who is the lead editor of Wrestling Inc. He used to be at WrestleZone. Nick Houseman is from Chicago. Nick Houseman covered the CM Punk, Chris Amann, Colt Cabana trial. So every day he was there covering it for the site and interviewing them. He knows them personally on top of, from a wrestling perspective, which is why Punk, as soon as he sat the fuck down, Nick couldn't even ask a question. He just introduced himself and Colt and Punk tried to make an example of Nick to do a got you so he could get and start talking about Colt. But that real life backstory of their friendship or at least their companionship is important to note in hindsight. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, you know, it gives mild context, but it don't change the actual story.
No, nothing changes homie, the story.
Homie straight up like is barely finished saying his fucking name and Punk's just like, yeah, let me go ahead and start. Let me go ahead and tell y'all. And he proceeds to air all the dirty laundry. And what was ironic about it is he's given this fucking rant about not airing dirt out to the reporters as he's sitting there in a press conference airing all his dirt out to the reporters. So I'm just like, wow. All right, then. So first of all, he goes on a completely out of fucking nowhere rant about Colt Cabana. Wanting to talk about how, wanting to address the rumors.
Yeah.
About Colt Cabana and about how the rumor that he is the reason Cabana is not on AEW anymore.
Yes.
Because he is the reason that Colt Cabana is not on AEW anymore. But he wants you to believe that that's not the case. He wants you to know that he didn't ask. Well, actually, no. He wants you to know that he didn't ask for it.
Yes, so
and that he has nothing to do with Colt Cabana.
The facts of that situation is that when Punk got hired, Cabana told Tony, I'm not comfortable with this.
Yeah, this is not good for me, dog.
Right, like, but again, you are,
and the thing is, Tony's a fucking mark, so like, Tony should know.
Well, of course, but you know what it is. In the moment, I think 99% of us would have been like, you know what, man, you got to eat that, bro. This is one of the biggest draws
possible. I agree. Yeah. I just meant, like, Tony should definitely know what it is.
Yeah, of course
he knows what it is. So, like, absolutely you tell him, like, listen, man, you're going to have to eat that shit because, like, especially, you know, keep it a buck. I love Colt. Don't get me wrong. I love Colt. But it's like, listen, dog, you going to be, like, the third match of the night. And he going to be in the main event. And people are going to buy tickets to see him. So, like, I need you to eat this discomfort.
So the issue comes in where Tony was fired. Let me not say was. Tony had fired Colt. Colt was gone. Now, mind
Tony picked a side.
Now, mind you, Colt wasn't just a happy-go-lucky Colt, I'm a wrestler here. He did backstage stuff, too.
Oh, right. But like, more to the point, Tony picked a side and he chose wrongly because you know what Tony never has been good at? Something we talk about all the time on the Outsider's Edge podcast, both with Tony and with WWE. Read the room, big dog.
Well, Well, to that point.
The room.
To that point, Tony had fired Colt. Colt was gone. But the Bucks stepped in and said, no, we can't do this. Because him and the Bucks are friends. But more than anything else, Colt is loved backstage and, again, was doing stuff backstage for the company. So that's where Colt stayed away for a while until the Ring of Honor thing became a thing and he was able to send in the Ring of Honor. So this is where the impetus for the quote-unquote rumors that Punk is talking about started. Because Punk is under the assumption that the Bucks, who have absolutely been known to give information to
The Bucks are sources, y'all. We all know that. We joke about it, but the Bucks are sources, y'all. They leak their own shit all the time.
Right. So they we know this, but he's under the belief that they leaked to all of the journalists, probably specifically Melzer Alvarez and Sean Ross Sapp, that he's the reason Colt got moved or had been away or whatever. And now what he doesn't seem to understand is, number one, whether we believe him or not, that's completely your prerogative. Every single journalist has said, no, they didn't tell us anything.
Literally, that's for you to believe. All of them. And the thing is, a denial is different than an obfuscation.
Yes.
Because they could very easily say nothing or sidestep. They 100%. Have all to a person issued the straight up, that's a no for me, dog.
100%. Everybody has categorically denied it. But the second thing is that he doesn't seem to understand because he's so in his own world, in his own rage, is even if nobody ever would have said something, any wrestling fan who has any idea of any backstage source or any backstage story who knows the history between you two guys would have put two and two together when they noticed Colt Cabana works here, CM Punk works here, I don't see Colt no more, but Punk is there. They would have figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's important to note, while Cabana wasn't on the show wrestling every week, Cabana was a part of a major group who was on the show every week,
especially at that time.
And the Dark Order, if you look at the timeline, I'm not being literal to the date, but around the same time that Punk got hired, Dark Order started phasing out and not showing up on TV much anymore. That's mm-hmm. about the time. So yeah, it's asinine for him to go off on Colt what he did for
But it goes beyond just going off on Colt. Like, we're gonna get to the other things that he said in a minute, but Colt Cabana is one of two people in this situation. I feel like from a moral standpoint, whether it will actually happen or not, but from a moral standpoint, I feel like it's got to be hands on sight, right?
Yeah.
Because you out here in this press conference talking shit about he shares a bank account with his mom, so I couldn't sue him. Bruh, you put my mama's name in your mouth about some shit that happened a decade ago?
Yeah. Now, I will say this. If he felt the need to have to explain the Colt situation, I don't have a ton of qualms about that. It's unnecessary. But if he needed to just get it out and say, look, I didn't have anything to do with that, I don't fuck with that dude, and ended at that, I'd have been fine with that.
The Colt situation was just his background story. If we think about this as an essay, the Colt situation was his background information. He wanted to give you the context of, I hate. He wouldn't say Colt Cabana. He just kept saying Scott Colton. Yeah. I hate him. I've wanted nothing to do with him for even longer. And he just used that so that he could launch that into the people leaking stories to the press and then thinking that Hangman fell for the bullshit and Hangman's just a dumb asshole. No, I think he called him an empty-headed dumb fuck. Then he said that the EVPs were incompetent trash shits that couldn't run a company.
Couldn't run a target.
Then Tony starts trying to talk. Then they ask about MJF, and he's like, yeah, he's just another idiot prick because this guy likes making me work with idiot pricks. And I'm just like, Okay, so in the course of one press conference, you have shit on a former world champion. You have shit on all of the executive vice presidents of the company. You have shit on your next opponent who you've worked with in the past, who is clearly in line for a huge push. And you not only shit on, you bitched your owner. You straight sunned your owner in front of the press.
Yeah.
Oh, no, fuck in the presence of him to him. Because Tony started talking at one point, and this bitch was like, no. He literally stuck his hand out, no, like you shushing a little boy.
Many points, yes. Many, many points. And that's the one thing Tony got to eat. Is that he sat there and allowed it to
Tony
happen.
Tony Contana got turned into a bitch.
Yeah, he sat there and allowed that to happen. And there's one thing Tony said I agree with. A lot of this could have been put to bed if when he was asked that question in another scrum months ago about Colt Cabana, if he would have just fucking answered it. And that's true. That's true. Because no comment doesn't always breed good things.
No, sometimes it's important to make a comment of some kind.
Yes, yes. It's just so wild that like the piss and vigor. And the thing that trips me out is this. This is what trips me out. Number one, he had just wrestled a 15-20 minute match against Moxley, right?
Actively got blood dripping down his face and shit.
He was, yes. He walked from that, the reveal of MJF shows over. 5 minutes later, he's sitting at the table. Were you holding this the whole entire day?
Yeah, like, were you thinking about this the whole match? Like, I can't wait until blah, blah, and blah. But no, I think more than likely what it is, and we'll get to the injury part here in a little bit, but I think more than likely what it is, you know, he's made of paper mache. I said last week he's a bitter old man being crushed under the weight of his own toxicity. And so, like, his tricep popped, and he felt it, and he's like, fuck, I'm going to be out again, so I might as well just air all my dirty laundry. This way, instead of being de-emphasized and pushed down the card because I'm too much of an egomaniac to ever allow for that shit to happen, especially in not WWE, because that's the other thing that this has exposed, is that he has no respect for this company as like legitimate or big time.
It was a paycheck.
And so he damn sure was not going to take not being the main event of this company. And so he's like, well, instead of being pushed down the card, I'm going to put this bitch in an impossible situation and make him get rid of me. And I think, like, for me, as I was watching it, I brought it up a second ago, but I keep coming back to, like, Tony, you really let this man sit here with a live mic and disrespect you for this long? Like, you were sitting right the fuck there. You were sitting right the fuck there. At any point, you could have just been like, all right, y'all, press conference is over. Thanks for coming. We're done.
But not only did he let it happen, but you can see him audibly, like, agreeing with things the Punk's saying. Now, that could have just, again, I'm trying to give this motherfucker the benefit of the doubt, which he doesn't deserve. But that could have been, like, a fear of like, literally a fear bringing up in his body. Because, like, Punk is shitting on EVPs, and you look at Tony, his body language is like, well, yeah, that's true.
Well, but here's the thing. Wow. Here's the thing. We've been sitting on this show for over a year talking about, like, I don't think that they're incapable of running anything. I think, as we've said over and over again, the boys can't run the company. You can't let the boys be in charge of the books.
Yeah, this, like, is in 1970, where, like, it's just one house for one territory, for one area. These are global companies.
I think there's a difference between saying that and saying they're not capable of running a company. I think they're perfectly capable of running a company that they're not performing in.
We'll get to them in a second. The one thing I want to touch on before we kind of dig deeper into the EVP situation, because that's going to lead to the altercation part, is I want to talk about the Hangman Page thing, because, again,
remains the smartest man in the room, because this motherfucker was smart enough to be Dipset deuced out by the time any of this shit went down. He got his check, he got cleaned up, and he went home to the baby.
I got shit to do. I'm so smart. I I love that man. There's so many misconceptions about that situation because a lot of people are, some people, there's a growing sentiment of punk fans, of course, that are upset at Hangman, or even people who aren't punk fans who are saying, well, Hangman instigated it. So the Hangman issue comes in. We know about Punk's issues with the Bucks. I explained that about Colt Cabana, but also apparently Punk has gotten more of Tony's ear over the past, since the past year, than the Bucks and Kenny have had, which have, take that however you want. But the issue with the Hangman Page situation comes about. We all know Hangman Page, the Bucks, and Kenny, the Elite, right? Hangman is still a member of the Elite. And because he's friends with them, of course, he saw the Colt Cabana stuff happening. He knew about what was happening. The entire locker room did. There, Hangman never liked Punk because, I guess, he saw the writing on the wall. There is the feud. Oh, also, by the way, insider information. Punk has, in the backstage, quietly been like trying to convince Tony to get the belt off of Hangman because he didn't think Hangman was a draw for the company. So that's another thing to add to this.
I mean, you know, it makes sense that Tony would worship Punk so much when you think about Tony's early 30s. So at the height of Punk, Tony was 19, 20-year-old kid with nothing but time on his hands.
Oh,
a lot of cocaine to do.
100% so, all the mark. Yes.
Well, but no, what makes Punk different from everybody else is like Tony has the nostalgia glasses on.
Yeah, of course.
For Punk. And he, like, Jericho could have probably made this exact same power play, but Jericho is proving to be very politically savvy, which makes perfect sense because the man survived WCW, ECW, like, all of that shit. Right. So, like, clearly he knows what to do when this shit happens.
Right. 100%. Jericho's actually shown himself to be very professional, shockingly. So the Hangman situation, though, where this got contentious was because there was a promo while they're in their feud. Mind you, it's important to note this promo, both men are there. This is not one of those promos where Hangman's out by himself and Punk's in the back. They're both in the ring. Shivani is between them, passing the mic. And Hangman talked about how you're not who you say you are. You talk all the good game, but you're not what you say you are. You say you're for workers' rights, but you only care about yourself. And then he ends his promo by saying, for the first time in my life, I'm not defending this championship against you. I'm defending AEW from you. Now, both of those situations pissed Punk off. The first one, the workers' rights, because Punk put out a tweet in March or April or May, whenever Sasha and...
It was in May because that's when Miro responded with the, like, laughing emoji. That
no, that was the day.
He retweeted.
Miro did the laughing emoji today.
No. He had done it back then. He
repeated
it today.
Got you. Okay.
Because of everything that's been going on. He did it back then because he shared a locker room with Punk back in the day. So Ben knew what it is. So he saw that Punk had tweeted out a thing about always support the worker because the company will do the same to you, which is correct. That is
He's factually right.
Correct. This is accurate. However, even back then, Miro knew that Punk is a self-serving piece of shit. And so, like, hypocrisy.
And the irony of the situation, because again, like I told you backstage, and I guess it may be a bit more of an open secret than I thought, but Punk was trying to get Tony to take the belt off of Hangman. So, yes, Punk took that as him talking about Cabana. And I guess Punk, in his own toxic mind, assumed that the whole world caught it right then and there. Nobody figured out what he was talking about until it was brought up months later. On top of that, the last part where he said the defending part from AEW from you, he took that he was upset because Hangman went off script. Now, irony of this. Again, there's a lot of irony in this conversation. Didn't Punk make his name off of going off script?
Yup.
That's the reason Punk is such a quote-unquote legend in this business, is because he was the guy that, I'm going to say what I got to say no matter if you want me to or not. That's what he got his name off of. That's where, not just in WWE, Ring of Honor, everywhere he's been. So the irony of that, and then the hilarity of, two more things real quick. Number one, how bitch made he was for Hangman to say that to his face. They could have handled that in backstage as soon as they got backstage, but he didn't say shit. But he comes back, Hangman's not in the building, and then he tries to retaliate. That's bitch made. Secondly, if he got a problem with the illusion of Colt, MJF like did a much more heavy-handed allusion or allegory to Colt in their feud. Ain't nothing happened with that. He ain't got no beef with MJF other than call him a prick. It's just so wild and random how angry he was, why he was so angry, what he was so angry at, and the manner in which he chose to exude that anger. So, yeah, I'm just trying to give some context for those listening, because I know everybody ain't as dialed in as me and you. But go ahead.
Well, so he goes off on that. Then he leads it into a thing about how the EVPs are so fucking incompetent and they can't run the company and they can't run shit. And then he proceeds to say, you know, if anybody's got a problem, they can come see me. They can talk to me. And so, lo and behold, later on, Kenny Omega and the Bucks came knocking on the door with some version of, we heard you've been talking shit. And that you had something you wanted to say. And that if we had a problem, we could come talk to you. So, fucks up, bruh. And apparently Punk felt threatened. And Punk's boy, Ace Steel, pulled a boondocks and threw a chair. Hit Nick Jackson in the face. Cole got this motherfucker the fuck out and then started biting Kenny Omega. And here's my thing on the whole felt threatened. And I'm not meaning to disrespect the Young Bucks in this particular instance. I generally disrespect the Young Bucks time for various other reasons. But in this particular instance, not intending to disrespect them, pointing out some facts. They are both about like 6 foot, buck 50, buck 75, maybe.
Not even 6 foot. Yeah, not even 6 foot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they you know, average Joe-sized dudes, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, whatever. CM Punk is 6 foot four, 230.
Something close to that, yeah.
And air quotes, I'm putting this in air quotes with heavy sarcasm. A highly trained MMA fighter.
That's hilarious, but yes. See your point.
Air quotes, heavy sarcasm. And he and his trainer, Ace Steel, felt threatened. And also, Nick Jackson is rocking some Hulk Hogan Fu Manchu dyed mustache beard thing. Like, that's what scared you, big dog?
Man,
did they announce Super Kick Party at the door?
Super Kick Party! Were they playing the Elite song while it came out? The Elite.
Yo, no, hold up. Did Ace Steel bite Kenny Omega because he tried to give him the gun salute?
No, The two funniest jokes I heard from that is, number one, finally the Bucks sold a chair shot. That's number one.
Well, number two, did they slap the leg?
Yes, when they kicked the door down.
No, hold up. We know they ain't kicked the door down, and here's why we know they ain't kicked the door down. The police, hold up. There was police presence.
Charles Barkley clip. Police presence.
No, but according to the local police department,
the police were not called to the scene or dispatched, which means they ain't kicked the door down. And I say that because the company ain't gonna call the cops for no shit like that. The yes. performers ain't gonna call the cops for no shit like that. But whoever run the venue, if a motherfucker kicked a door down, the cops are being called immediately.
Yep. So the hilarity of the situation was ruined for me a bit because there are so many different sides to the story. There's the side that's very kind to Punk and Ace Steel. And that side is this. The Bucks, Kenny, Brandon Cutler, Micah Nakazawa, and apparently some form of Pat Buck and Chris Daniels all came banging on the door. And Ace Steel's wife was in the room. And Punk was apparently either in the shower or just got out the shower. And they felt threatened. I can understand if that was true. You ain't throwing no hands, but like I can understand. Wait a minute, dog. What the fuck is going on? That ain't it, but that didn't happen. And I'll tell you why that didn't happen. Because the more truth is coming out that Mega Parikh, who is the chief legal officer and essentially the number two of the company, was with the Bucks and Kenny when it happened. So they wasn't going to fight if they got the chief lawyer with them.
Man, you know what Daniels that tells there, me about the lawyer? You want to know why he was there? Want to know why he was there?
He
was there because he's Tony Khan's boy. And here...
Mega.
Oh, Mega. I'm sorry.
She, yeah.
Oh, she was there. I'm sorry. She was there because she's Tony's boy. And that tells me that she's a ride or die who's used to Tony's shit. And we know the kind of person that Tony is, she's probably used to seeing situations where she's like, somebody is going to fuck up if I don't go with them to represent the company and be like, hey, y'all, eyes on the prize, you fucking with the money.
That's possible, but that's not how I see it, and that's not how it was reported. But that makes a lot of sense, knowing the party.
Oh, involved. I'm just saying, like, the way, in my head, that's why she's there.
It makes sense. The way it was reported was, Punk said, you got a problem with me, come talk to me. The Bucks and Kenny went and got the chief legal officer and the head of HR, Christopher Daniels, and said, let's go have this conversation right now. Daniels is the head of human resources now, yes. And they said, and they went to him and said, let's go ahead and handle this shit right now. You got a problem with us. Let's fix this right now. We got the lawyer here. We got HR here. Let's do this shit right now. And Punk went off and started throwing punches. Now, that makes more sense to me knowing CM Punk. I can't, but there would be no other reason. Mega wouldn't even be in that side of the building at the time. If, you know, on a regular situation. Why would she be over there?
I mean, girl, I don't know. I don't view this charitably for anybody. I don't.
That's a good point.
Because if we're going to keep it a buck, like if we're keeping it a buck, Punk is right about one thing. The EVPs should not be EVPs if they are active members of the roster. I have said that from the beginning.
Agreed.
I stick to that. He was right about that. He was wrong about everything else and the way that he handled it.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you feel. Because you are in your mid-40s and a millionaire and one of the highest paid people in this company. And you got the owner by the palm of your hand and you just won the world title. Like, you're still not fucking happy. Because you're never happy. Because you're such a bitter old fucking man who's always had this chip on his shoulder about not getting his due and not getting the respect he deserves and not being viewed the way that he should be viewed by everyone. And so because we're not all walking on walking on air to please him, he needs to set this record straight about why he's not the villain and he's being wronged and what did I ever do. This, you do this in every fucking company that you ever work in. This is always the way it goes. You sign with a company, you believe that you are the best person in that company and should be the main event of everything and should be given everything and should be the highest paid of everything and should have total creative control and be fully revered. And the second you don't get that, all of a sudden you're hurt all the fucking time. All of a sudden you're complaining all the fucking time. All of a sudden the company is what's at fault, and the company is terrible, and the company's run by idiots, and nobody knows what they're fucking doing but me, and I'm trying to make money, and nobody knows how to run a gate but me. You did this shit on the indies, you did this shit in Ring of Honor, you did this shit in WWE, now you're doing this shit again in AEW. It's the same story, different fucking day. The problem is you. And until we all collectively cut bait and stop sucking this man's dick at every opportunity, even though he constantly tells you that he fucking hates you and he doesn't respect you and he doesn't want to be associated with you. He just wants your money. And until everybody just says, fuck this dude, it's never gonna change. He's incapable of change.
I'm going to go to commercial because that was too perfect. I don't want to add anything to that. We'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Thanks for helping us pay those bills, y'all. And while you're at it, if you enjoy the content we provide here at The Chair Shot, why don't you go to prowrestlingtees.com/The Chair Shot and get you one of them nice shirts. You know, we got that good-ass merch. Help us pay the bills. Help us do them good things that you love to hear us do. And get some of that soft style stuff because it feels so good on your skins.
I don't even know where to go after this. First and foremost, you had the rent of a lifetime. I'm going to clip that shit. I want to move away from the press conference, but there's one thing that we didn't touch on that was really confusing to me.
All right.
And it was the assertion or the assertion. I'm sorry. That's assertion isn't a word. I know.
It's all good.
That his qualms with Paige were about Paige possibly ruining the business of the company's quote-unquote first $1 million gate. The last I checked, the entire business of professional wrestling or sports entertainment, or whatever you call it, is built on conflict and drama.
Yeah.
And that promo.
More drama is better.
Or it built more drama and conflict, which led to the first $1 million gate. So he looked at Tony and said, I'm trying to run a business here. Bitch, what business? The business of CM Punk?
Well, the business of AEW. Yes, the business of CM Punk. Because, again, what all of the stuff that he said in this rant really highlighted is that he doesn't respect AEW as a company in comparison to WWE, which is super ironic because he's always Mr. Anti-WWE. But the way that he talked about everyone and the way that he said, you know, they've never drawn money and they don't know what they're doing and all of this other shit, it's like... Oh, so these people who are literally the reason this company exists don't know what they how to do it, but they've been doing it for 3 years. Just because I agree that they shouldn't have this role doesn't take away from, like, dog, you are not making any sense. You doing Steiner math on this thing.
At least Steiner had his numbers, right?
No, speaking of Steiner math, they're doing another fucking title tournament because that's always what they do. So here's how we move on. No, here's how we move on from the press conference and transition into the title tournament. Let's talk about the fallout.
Well, the fallout has been quite interesting. So as of this moment, mind you, we're recording this on Wednesday night. So Dynamite has been on for an hour. We started the show 30 minutes late. So we could watch the first 30 minutes of and see the Tony Khan promo and the MJF promo. But we know for certain Kenny Omega, Matt, Nick Jackson, Pat Buck, Michael Nakazawa, and Chris Daniels are all suspended. We know this for sure. Ace Steel has been taken off the road, and it's probably going to be fired, but we don't know that for sure. And we know Punk has the title stripped from him. The reason, though, is because of the injury, because we don't know what's going on with him and the actual career in AEW. But the belief is that we know that Tony had a Zoom call with Punk and Ace at 3 p.m. today, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern time. We know this to be true. And he had a talent meeting 15 minutes later, so it probably wasn't a long damn Zoom call.
No. I mean, I'm just throwing this one out there. It's probably not, but I'm just throwing this one out there. That kind of scheduling feels like, fuck you both. You're both fired. We'll send you your final check. Bye.
If Tony got the balls to do that, Tony Khan can do enough cocaine.
I feel like Tony Khan can do enough cocaine to have the balls to do anything.
Well, let's hope so, because I'm not a
spokesman. Especially because it's a Zoom call, so like he could literally do lines off camera and then pop back up.
This is true. And by the way, I think he would need to make sure he's... So there is an investigation looming, a formal investigation looming with like outside parties.
We know Punk is litigious, so like Punk would absolutely jump at the chance to sue them for wrongful termination and say it was retaliation for his comments and the prep and violation of his First Amendment rights.
You gotta be careful about that. 100%. Now, I don't know how far he would get because remember, they're independent contractors.
Well, not just that, like I don't want to go to war legally with the McMahon machine, but I also don't want to go to war legally with the Khan oil machine either. Like, they got good lawyers, too.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But how, I guess the question would be, how in his own head is he? How arrogant is he?
Which one?
Punk. To think that, yeah, they got much more money than me. Because remember, if we're being honest, while truth came out that Punk was not telling the whole truth about the story, Punk won that lawsuit against Doc A-Man. He won it.
He did.
So, you know, there may be a level of arrogance there. Like, well, bitch, I'm right. So whatever. That's speculation. We don't know if it's going to happen or not. But that I'm sure that's why we haven't gotten the formal announcement or whatnot of what's happened with Punk. or Ace. I know the reason we haven't got the formal announcement for the rest of the guys is because of the investigation looming. But we do know the AEW World Championship is stripped. We're going to talk about the title tournament in a minute. But tonight, the trios titles, which were just crowned Sunday, have been abdicated and are going and were
being contested in the opening match between Death Triangle and Best Friends
in Orange Cassidy. Did you see who won? Because I stopped paying.
I didn't see who won, but I did see that was gonna be decided tonight, and then they're doing a tournament of champions.
I mean, it sounds good, but it's bullshit.
A bunch of former champions to crown a new champion.
This may be a little rant that's kind of a tangent, but you'll understand. You'll appreciate it. I hate tournaments that have buys. I hate that.
Especially if it's an even number. Like,
yes.
Like, you gave two randos a buy in this turn. Like, why aren't they facing each other? Why aren't they facing two of the other competitors? Like, what are we doing? Why isn't MJF involved in this? Didn't he get a guaranteed world title match? Like,
so the two opening round matches are Hangman and Bryan, which is happening literally as we speak. Hangman Page and Bryan Danielson.
Danielson.
Yes, and the other one is Sammy Guevara
versus Darby Allin. Again.
The winner of Hangman and Bryan is going to face Jericho. Whoever wins that match is going to fight for the title at Grand Slam and Arthur Ashe and Queens on the 21st, so in 2 weeks. The winner of Sammy and Darby is going to face Moxley next week, and that winner will go on to face whoever wins out of the Jericho versus whatever. So basically, the title will be contended and someone will win it at Grand Slam, their biggest television show of the year, because 20,000 people, Arthur Ashe Stadium. Cool. But why you got to do all this to get there?
Because they don't know how to book on the fly, and they think that this is the sports way to do it. Can I tell you another reason I feel super sorry for Hangman Page in this whole scenario, on top of everything else? He is so left drifting in the wind right now because he was literally in the middle of a huge storyline about him reuniting with the rest of the Elite. And, like, they had made a huge thing about that. That was his entire direction. And I guarantee you that was all supposed to culminate with him reuniting with the Elite at Arthur Ashe Stadium in their biggest show, televised show of the year, so that they can get the big pop from the smarky New York crowd. And all of that is now gone.
Hangman's gotten such a fucking shitty ass. You push back the original story of him winning the championship for no fucking reason. Mm-hmm. Then you do that, and the story was fantastic, but you pushed it back for no fucking reason. He lost the match he should have won when he should have won.
And then when you did finally crown him, you crowned him without a plan for what you were going to do next.
Well, his title rank, and again, he had good matches, but there was no substance to it.
And that's what I really blame it on. It was like you knew that you were building up to crown him, but you did so without planning for what's the next chapter. Once he's finally there, what are we doing next? Because it very quickly fell into just the, I'm the fighting champion, and I defend against whomever. Like, no, you got to give us more spice than that. Roman Reigns has been champ for like 2.5 years, but he keeps, you know, doing different shit. And he also goes on hiatus, so, you know, now we only ever see him like once every 3 months.
Well, that helps, yes. But I feel for him because of that whole situation. But then when he lost the title, he never got a rematch. He was completely left in the dust, wasn't thought about.
All of the Dark Order was starting to get released slowly. So 100%. Like, that was his posse.
So everything he's done since that title match at Double or Nothing, right?
Yeah.
Everything he's done since then has basically just been like nothing.
Filler. It's like a filler arc.
He's wasted like four or five months of nothing. And now I don't think he's going to win this match. Because if I were Tony, I would stick with the guys I know that draw. Right now, we need stability in the company. So I would stick with either Jericho, Moxley, or Bryan. And I know, sorry, but we know who we're going to get with those guys. At the talent meeting today, who ran the talent meeting? Chris Jericho, Bryan Danielson, and Jon Moxley. You can trust those guys. And it's a shame because the one thing the Elite did do and was important for was they were the catalyst of this entire company. Tony was the bankroll. So the Elite represented what the company was supposed to represent, the future of wrestling, not having to say, oh, you're not important unless you're with WWE. We can do things without them. And Tony's just turning into Vince.
Well, and importantly, the Elite were the leaders in that locker room when they were there, for better and for worse. Like, you know, all of the criticisms that we lobbied at AEW for a lot of the things that they don't do well stem from the shortcomings of the Elite being the leaders. But a lot of the successes were because of that too. And we said it when they started adding all of these former WWE guys, like, there aren't but so many hands you can put in a cookie jar before things get stuck. And like, signing a personality like Punk was a bold move, and I understood the like purpose for it at the time, and I understood, you know, it pushed a big number and all of that, but it's also like, you've got to rein that in. And like, the bigger problem has now become, like, the rumor is, you know, it's a miserable ass place to work right now, and there's like super toxicity, and it all comes back to there is no structure. And there is no structure because there is no team. There's Tony. And everybody else was doing their little pet projects and their little things that they cared about. Like, I'm sorry. I understand that it was instrumental in the creation of the company. Why is BTE still a thing?
I don't mind it because, as far as we know, it's a sign of the company. If it was a company thing, I'd have a problem with it. But all the motherfuckers got vlogs. Sammy got a vlog. Ethan Page got a vlog. Danhausen has a vlog. Like, all the motherfuckers got vlogs.
You're right, but all them motherfuckers aren't the EVPs of the company. What I'm saying is,
that's a good point.
Why is all of this time being spent? Because producing that at the production level that they produce it at, time consuming.
Sure.
It's time.
I wonder.
Just like, why are we spending this time?
I do wonder if they've handed that to Brandon, because I know Nick used to be the one to do all that shit. But no, that's a fantastic point. You know, the most disconcerting thing about all this news to me is the
industry needs AEW to be successful because it's good for business.
Right. So the most disconcerting thing about all this to me is the first talent meeting they had a couple weeks ago was Tony. He spoke. I know Kenny and the Bucks spoke. I think Jericho spoke. This talent meeting was Jericho, Moxley, and Danielson. In the fight backstage, it was Daniels and Pat Buck. All of these legends and these producers that you have hired, Dean Malenko and Jerry Lynn and Billy Gunn and Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, and I know Jake isn't there right now, but all of these people that you have there that talk ad nauseum about how nobody listens to them. Why are they not there?
That's why they're not there. You just answered your own question. Because here's the thing. How long has AEW been a company? Three years now, right? You're one of these legends who's been telling them things, been giving this advice, been trying. And you tried and you tried and you tried. And he either got ignored or probably in some cases told to just shut the fuck up or leave him the fuck alone. And now you're at the point where
I'm going to come. I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to help these kids. And then when the show is over, because that's the other part of this. This is after show. Things are done. Mm-hmm. I've put my time in. I've helped the performers. Tony and them have made it clear that they have no use for me at this point. I'm out. That's why they're not there.
Right.
Because the culture that the company has created is one that has made them believe at this point that they're not wanted to be there and they have no purpose to be there. And you're right to ask that question. You're absolutely right to ask that question, because those are the people that should be there, because those are the people who lived through WCW. Those are the people who lived through AWA. Those are the people who know how to control this kind of situation.
Right. But that's not the important part of that to me. They could have never been in a wrestling company ever. They are the literal middle management of the company. It could be me, you, fucking Johnny from the block, little knuck-knuck who smoke all the time. It could be anybody there. The people who are the producers are hired to be the middle management between the talent and Tony Khan. So these talent company, it just happens and helps that these people, like you said, were with AWA and were with WCW or NWA or WWE, whatever, or ECW. That just helps the situation. So I'm blown away that the little, if I had a problem with my job, why would I go to the president? I would call my manager. If there was a problem with me in a situation where I was being reprimanded, the president wouldn't call me. The president wouldn't sit me down and have a meeting with me. It would be my manager and the manager directly above his manager. Above them.
I don't email the superintendent when I got a problem at school.
It's wild to me. So to keep giving these dual jobs to the boys, right? And the EVPs, while we've ad nauseum, we know that they shouldn't have it, but I give them a pass because they fucking created the company, right? They had to have a title. I get that. I should have had the title founder, but whatever. But I'm talking about the Jericho and giving Daniels the situation, all the titles he has, which I love Daniels, but it's wild to me when you have all these other people there that it's we know the structure's fucked up, but like that's just, you're wasting your money now at this point. Just let them go.
I mean, I don't know that what I said is the definite answer, but it just feels like to me, you've created a culture and established an expectation that like you don't want them there at that point in the day.
I would agree. I would feel that way. I would feel unwanted. I already feel unwanted because I'll give you another perfect example. And the guy we both love, Hangman. I sent you guys in the group. We have a group chat, me, Cal, and a bunch of our friends, a video from Hangman being asked about, does he take advice from people like Sting and Punk and some of the older guys? He was like, well, he was being self-deprecating, but he was serious. I don't really like to take advice. I'm a world champion. I feel like I got here on my own. I feel like, well, there's something to be said for trial and error. Cool. You can believe that all you want. But that's an ignorant thought process when you have people that's done that there and their whole entire if it wasn't their job, if Johnny on the street came to you and said, hey, bro, you know what you should do? Yeah, fuck that dude. It's that guy's job to tell you and help you.
Well, specifically, one of the people they asked, like, it's one thing you don't want to take advice from Punk because, like, Punk is a known and notorious asshole. Sure. But, like, they were asking you, like, advice from Sting. Like, yeah, you are a former world champion, and I will give you all your flowers, Hangman, because I love you, but, like, that's fucking Sting, dog. I'm not even a Sting mark, and I'm like, sit at the learning tree.
That's the general kind of rhetoric and kind of belief of the company, which is why it was so important to bring in someone like Jericho at first, Moxley in the middle, and then guys like Danielson and Sting later on, because the locker room needed some veterans. But then you also got to respect and have the veterans in line as the producers and the agents, because that's their job to do this. But because you have so many young guys that have done it their way and they got there. And I know, and when I say this, I mean no disrespect. I don't mean this in a sense of tearing anybody
it's
down.
It's not to be patronizing. It's just
Like, the next thing I'm about to say. I'm saying this because it's gonna come off as disrespectful, and it's not. But with multiple major companies now, you don't have to earn it like you used to anymore. You don't have to earn getting to the main companies as like you used to, right? There's a guy that I know that's been wrestling for two years now and is already on television. And again, good for him. I'm completely and genuinely happy for him. But like...
So on the flip side, I think it's easier to get exposure than ever before, but it's harder to be memorable.
And while that may be true, sure, but all you need in this day and age is exposure, because look at AEW. They'll bring you in and you work dark for 6 months and never have a spot with the company, but you're on TV. Look at what things like Britt Baker was the girl who got beat up by Nia Jax in her first squash match. That got Britt Baker her deal in AEW.
Speaking of Nia Jax, this just random aside. Quick fuck you to Sammy Guevara for the way that he dropped Ruby on her head. Like, fuck you, dog. Rule number one, look out for the person you are working with. Like, how you gonna drop somebody on your head like that? If you couldn't drop her safely, don't do the fucking spot.
Yeah, like, that was bad.
Like, and Sammy stays doing this kind of shit where I'm just like, nah, miss me with Sammy. Like, I know he's young and he's got a lot of years to learn and improve and be better. He can come back when he's done that. When he's taken, and I'm not talking about from an in-ring standpoint, because from an in-ring standpoint, for the most part, he is good.
Yeah.
But he's maturity. An asshole.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look out for the people that he's working with at all times, which is really not a good thing.
Yeah, maturity is especially necessary when you literally have your opponent's life in your hands. It's paramount.
Also, 100%. Like, I know that people also, like, I know people did not handle his, like, relationship thing with Tay the way that they should because people are assholes. But he is also, like, taking it to, like, an extreme level of, like...
I don't blame people. He put it on himself. He proposed to his girlfriend on air in the ring, and then 2 months later, he was dating Tay. That looks really fucked up. I don't blame the people for that. Now, people are salacious and assholes in general, but, like, this is one thing if nobody had ever known anything about this on... This was all backstage stuff. He did this shit in the... Like, Edge and Lita... That's fucked up, because nobody needed to know about that. That was backstage. He literally proposed to her in the middle of the fucking ring.
I forgot about that. Genuinely.
Yeah. Yeah, he literally got on his knee. And not in between the commercials. Not after the show.
No, now that you bring it back up, it was like a big whole thing. They made a whole deal out of it.
In fact, if I remember correctly, it was after he won the TNT title.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you invited us to have a problem with this.
So yeah, like quick fuck you to Sammy. That just I felt like I needed to say that.
No, it's important. But to put a bow on my point is, and I don't mean those no disrespect to any wrestler who makes it or hasn't made it or whatever. But I just feel like because there's so many more ways available to be noticed, and there's so many more places now that pay. Like a decent wage now, that it's so much easier to get to a level of prominence in the wrestling business that if you look at the AEW, all those guys and girls are talented. All those guys and girls deserve a spot, but they got there before they had learned. You can learn how to wrestle, but that don't mean you know how to be a wrestler. Make sense?
Yeah.
And they're there before they learn. Sammy Guevara is a great comparison. He's 23 years old. He can out wrestle maybe anybody on this earth, but he doesn't know how to be a wrestler. And that's the thing that AEW has a problem with, because they're the type of company and they have the type of belief and
they
type
value
of locker room
moves over
100%. And a lot of the times people with the substance are older and they're the ones that know how to handle themselves. Another example of that. Well, Eddie Kingston mushed Sammy Guevara 2 weeks ago, or longer than 2 weeks ago. As soon as he did it, He owned up and said, I was wrong for that. I shouldn't have done it. I was out of line. Took his suspension like a man and has moved forward amicably. Even went to Sammy, squashed the beef and said, I should have done that to you. I mean, I like you, but I shouldn't put my hands on you. That's how you handle it. Right? He fucked up, handled it, owned it up. Yeah, do you think some of these younger dudes can do that?
I don't think some of the younger dudes can admit that they fucked up. But to your point on people who have substance and, like, let's, you know, shift topics a little bit. I took up a good portion of our time earlier with a bit of a rant, and then I want to give you an opportunity to take up some of our time on this topic. Rance, throw some flowers to Tommy and Aleister Black, Malachi Black, and then we'll talk about what happens next for that. But give your man some love while we got time.
It is. So there's a joke on this podcast. I love me some Tommy and I love Aleister Black, Malachi Black, Tom Bunchin, whatever you want to call him. I love the dude. And it's a joke between a podcast with Kyle and Carl, our brethren, that they don't know who he is. Whatever. But I love the dude because, number one, his gimmicks are so out there and so interesting to me. But
and he fully fucking commits. Regardless of whether I was into them 1,000%. Or not, that man commits.
1,000%. But there, and this is going to be weird to some people, but there's something about him when I look in his eyes that I see that I kind of can understand and appreciate and care about.
Kindred soul.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I love the dude. And there's no question in every situation he's been, he has been the guy who could have and probably should have been higher on the card or doing well. But knowing his backstory, knowing the way he grew up, knowing the life he's lived, he has struggled many times with mental illness and his mental health. And wrestling, of course, is the greatest drug anybody could ever have. And that's in a positive and a negative way. And he's tend to mask it and deal with it well. But I guess it has kind of gotten to a point where the rubber needed to meet the road. Where he was struggling with his character, struggling with how he was being treated in AEW, with how he's being booked.
Struggling with things like being brought in, given a really, really high-end program with Cody. Cody leaves. He starts a stable. Names the stable the House of Black. And he proceeds to be the second most important person in his own stable from the way the company portrayed him. And it's like, that's fucked up.
Danielson just won, by the way, like I told you.
Yeah, you were right. Greg is probably right on the final prediction.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I said the same thing. Yeah, it's going to be, yeah. But he's definitely a person who his creative outlet is more important than anything else, and his creative outlet has kind of been stifled. So he asked for his release last month, and it wasn't given. Because the fear is he's going to leave and go to WWE, which essentially, if we're being completely honest, what Jeff Hardy did. Finally, he finished out his story with Miro, Darby, and Sting. He took the pin, and as he was leaving, the cameras didn't see it. He gave a bow and a kiss to the crowd, essentially saying goodbye. And now we know he has been granted his release. Now his release is conditional,
heavily conditional,
which is ironic, seeing as AEW was a company that didn't do that, right?
Well, how many times have we said that?
He has a 6-month non-compete. 6 months. So now, granted, if he really is just going away and going away, no harm, no foul. But basically, you're telling this dude, you can't wrestle for 6 months, which, whatever. I don't give a fuck about the wrestling. I don't give a fuck about the companies. I care about the man. And I really hope that fuck all this wrestling shit and whatever. Go home, take care of yourself, and get right. Because we have lost way too many too early.
Way too many.
For lesser things. This wrestling shit, if he never wrestles again a day in his life, he's still going to be a wealthy man. He still left quite a legacy. His wife still wrestles. Like, they'll be fine. Get yourself together, bro. That's all that matters to us. I care about the guy. I'd love to see him back, but I care about the guy, and I want to give him some love and let him know that, you know, I hope all of us here at the Edge are here with him. I'm there with you, if nothing else.
And, girl, you know I take mental health very seriously. I will never make any kind of jokes when we're talking about mental health. No, my comment at this point is just yet another example of the non-compete in this case is a great example of what you said a second ago. Tony just Vince in a younger coat of paint.
I've had the argument with a good friend of mine and friend of the show, Sam Brown, Sir Sam. He has the AEW Match Guy podcast. I'll actually be getting on with him sometime in the next week or so, and we're going to do kind of a Worlds Collide of our own sorts.
Shout out to Sam.
We have the argument all the time that the way the companies release people are totally, we know literally they're totally different. But AEW does it with dignity because they don't release you from your contract out of nowhere. They let your contract run out, like, with some dignity. And my argument is, while we know it's different, literally, the same process is happening. They're letting you go. They want nothing to do with you no more. Right? And we know multiple people have come out. Marco Stunt, Joey Janela, Five, Stu Dose. Multiple people have come out and said, they told me nothing when my contract was up. I didn't get a call. We didn't get a renegotiation conversation. I didn't get an email. I didn't get a handshake saying thank you for your service. It was just up and I had to figure out what was going on. That's no different than getting a call from Johnny Ace and saying, you got 90 days. Thanks for coming.
No, that's
best
worse.
For future endeavors. No, that's I would worse. Think so, because at least for 90 worse. Days, I'm getting paid and can figure out what I got to do.
If I lost my job without notice, and I've been trying to get in touch, and I've been trying to communicate, and I can't get in touch with nobody, and nobody's telling me nothing, and all of a sudden my deal is just up, and my paychecks have stopped coming in, that is way worse than, hey, I'm going to terminate your contract. As per our agreement, you got 90 days to find a new job while I'm still paying you.
It's on face value, yeah, they're better, but what's the difference?
And also, in this case, there's no difference in terms of somebody requested their release, and at first he got told no. So, like, that's number one. So, like, I don't ever want to hear shit about the whole, only WWE is denying people who want to get out. Like, nah, they told my dog no. Then, after a while of him insisting, like, nah, I'm done, I'm Gucci, I need out. Finally, the producers and the people that, you know, Tony never listens to, we're just like, hey, dude, so, like, if he doesn't want to be here and he's genuinely unhappy, you know, it might be best for everybody to just let him go.
It just makes the most sense. And you keep saying we don't care about them. But everything you do goes to show that you do. Because if you didn't care about WWE, then why would you do a non-compete? Not to mention...
If you didn't care about WWE, why do you still got their name in your mouth?
So, and to put a final bow on AEW, and we'll take one more break after this, unless you got more. The one thing we didn't talk about in the press conference was Tony went off on WWE because apparently he's mad that WWE had the audacity to run shows on Labor Day weekend because he owns Labor Day, apparently. The assumption is that the buy rate was lower than usual. And because the way he talked about it and brought it up was he was like, well, last year, this time we were the first show on Labor Day weekend. This year, we're the third. And, you know, I'm not the Crockett's. I got more money than the Crockett's in, and I'm not going to take this fucking shit. He's shook because for the first time since AEW has been a thing, the momentum of the fans, not the companies, not the money, but the fans, is for WWE now. And that has got him shook. We'll take one more break and then we'll talk a few quick WWE hits and then we'll get on out of here. So we'll see y'all on the other side.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're giving a fuck, we're back with them quick hits.
You know, it's crazy to me because while this has been maybe one of the five biggest newsworthy weeks I can ever remember in my wrestling, quote unquote, whatever person career, we had three fantastic pay-per-views this past week.
They were all pretty good.
And major things happen on all three of these shows. So we've talked ad nauseum about AEW. We've done that enough. We don't need to go there anymore. Drew McIntyre lost. Solo Sikoa has joined his brothers and his cousin.
Tyson Fury knocked Austin Theory the fuck out.
Beautiful. Loved it. By the way, hell, fucking hilarious. Dexter Lumis continues to like completely stalk and take over the Miz and finally
scares the Miz so bad that he was about to win the U.S. title and said, fuck that title, I'm going back to the ring where it's safe.
What were your quick thoughts on Clash at the Castle real fast?
So my quick thoughts is all hail the tribal chief, acknowledge him. Solo Sikoa is going to be the way that they kick Sammy away from the bloodline. Solo Sikoa is going to help facilitate KO's mission to liberate Sammy from the bloodline. And that'll be fun to watch. I'm also excited for him. Good for him. Good for Rikishi that all three of his kids are together again.
And there's an infamous picture of all of them as like teenagers when Roman's sitting down and the three of them are behind him. And they always had to cut off the side because Solo was never around. Now they can show the whole picture.
Yeah. So like, I'm just happy for him. Was glad that Bayley et al. Got the win because that's what's supposed to happen.
Pinning Bianca, by the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you build up a heel stable, they should win a big feud early in their debut to establish their dominance. Meanwhile, in the main event, we got the Judgment Day, who are still out here losing the big matches. Even if at the end they tried to salvage it with Dominic finally turning heel and doing like I said he would, turn it on his daddy too.
Well, he turned on his stepdaddy. Because his real daddy.
You're right, because he's Eddie's kid. You're right.
And he's following in his father's footsteps.
He found himself a mamacita.
Yep. Yeah, but actually now it's Poppy. He found him a Poppy. I'm here for it. Because number one, Dominic needed a chance to grow and he couldn't grow with his dad. He couldn't continue to be like my dad's kind of backup. He couldn't continue to grow. And he'll learn 3 years worth of knowledge in that 20-minute match with Edge. He'll learn so much.
And more importantly, now that he's aligned in a group with, you know, the admittedly, what the fuck are we doing with them, the Judgment Day, he's at least in a group with three people who can talk and cut promos, so Dominic never has to be heard from. And yep. Silent Mysterios are best Mysterios. Mysterios that don't have to cut promos because someone else can do all the talky-talky and they just go out and do the good stuff in the ring. Best Mysterios.
I think he's in a perfect situation right now. I absolutely do. Everything about this is perfect. You can stretch this out to having Dominic and Rey at WrestleMania. You can maybe take Rey's mask. It's all perfect, I think, right now. And I don't mind the Judgment Day losing because every stable isn't about winning. Some stables are about making a point. And clearly the Judgment Day didn't give a fuck about nothing but destroying the fucking...
Yeah, but they're flirting. But my issue is, at this point, considering how long they've been a stable, they are flirting with Wyatt family issue of, like, y'all always lose when it counts, so, like, why should we take this shit seriously no more?
That's fair. That's fair. Well, they gave you Exhibit A. Yeah,
like adding Dominic was necessary, but like the next time they have a big match, I need them to win.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure Dominic is losing the Edge.
Oh, Dominic definitely losing the Edge. But I'm talking about like if they as a stable have like a team thing.
Got you.
I need them to actually come out on top.
Got you.
Because like they are flirting with Wyatt family. Why should this like be credible anymore?
Yeah.
And I would see that happen because like I do enjoy the concept.
Concept is good. The wrestlers are great. They have great chemistry. Yeah, it would be a shame for it to kind of fall all the wayside. You're spot on. Other WWE news. As our good friend Rab Ropes calls him affectionately, Big Shouty is back. Braun Strowman.
Ugh. Although I will say, when I heard about the Ace Steel chair throw, my favorite thing were all of the copies of him throwing the chair at Roman Jeff.
Spot on. I'll say this. I mean, you know, we want to talk about our personal feelings about the dude as a guy. I don't know the guy, but he's done things I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of all of his work, but he's fucking over.
Oh, yeah, the crowd was hyped to see him. My main complaint is the complaint that you voiced when it happened, and I watched Raw, and I agree. Like, okay, fine, he's going to come back. Cool, whatever. He's got to come back in the literal middle of the tag team thing and molly whoop four tag teams?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that, especially considering how that was... It wasn't just a random tag match. It was a fatal four-way for the number one contendership.
And they weren't rando tag teams. Like, Kofi Kingston's a former world champion. Like,
Street Profits were the former tag champs.
New Day are the greatest tag team of all time. Like, them and the Usos, greatest tag teams of all time. So, like, I'm just like, no, like, why is this the way we had to do it? I'm not upset necessarily with the return because... I've accepted with Braun, I'm just like, he's not for me, but he's for a lot of people.
Yeah. And you wanted to get him in a multi-man so he could destroy him. I get that. But you didn't have to do that to the tag division. For him just to say, I'm going to SmackDown. Well, then why did he come to Raw and destroy that and leave? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, wreck everything and leave is the Tribal Chiefs thing.
And it's looking like Braun's probably gonna, and that makes sense because Braun's last match was losing the title to Roman.
But like the best gimmick in WWE right now is Kevin Owens. I watch the show. Like Kevin Owens just being guy who watches the show is great.
The two best things the pandemic has given us is Roman Reigns, I read my contract, and Kevin Owens, I watch the show. Just sensible things.
Just guy who watches the show. Well, and also the bromance between MJF and Baron Corbin, which is just always wholesome and lovely.
Whenever they get to the same company, wherever it's going to be, WWE, it's going to be fantastic. Can I give some love to the fact that my boy Rathers came out in Cardiff dressed as Elton John? That is the most hilarious shit in the world to me. Did you catch that?
You can get love for Seth for anything, honestly. And also Seth, he beat Matt Riddle, which was the correct choice.
I wonder what
match
what
of the night, gonna... obviously, though. Match of the weekend, Gunther versus Sheamus.
Well, hold on one second. I want to ask you, what do you think is going to happen with Riddle going forward? They'll probably have another match, but like clearly Seth is done with that.
Oh yeah, Seth is definitely done with that. I don't know what they do with Riddle, because like I think the company clearly believes in Matt Riddle, but I think they're also like not sure how hard they want to push him.
Well, she keeps coming out about the dude, so like they don't know if they can.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And so, like, I don't know what you do with him. It was easier to keep him with Randy because it, like, it helped Randy, you know, be less active in his older years. And it helped, you know, keep Riddle from being the focal point. But I don't know what they're going to do with him. And even more so problematic, I think, for him, if I am indicative of a casual fan, I don't care what they do with Matt Riddle, because I'm just like, I don't care about Matt Riddle. I've been watching Raw regularly for the last month, and like I haven't given two shits about Matt Riddle himself. Seth was the most interesting thing about that feud.
So Riddle is, as a character, ignore everything about the person, just the guy on screen. Riddle is a very engaging character, but he has no substance. What Randy Orton and Seth have been able to give him were substance, right? Which is why the thing with him and Randy was so good. Why the thing with him and Seth has been so good. It's to give him some substance. He needs to continue that. We don't know if Randy's ever going to wrestle again. That's not conjecture. We don't know. We believe he'll be back, but he got injuries so much now and he got so much money. Why? We don't know. I'd love to see Randy come back and be pissed at at Matt for basically stealing everything about him. Like he does the Randy pose and he does the RKO and basically does the snake taunt kit stuff. Like, and Randy could be like, well, look, we were tagging, cool, I get it, but I've been gone. Go back to you now. And I can see something like that, which would help Matt get over further. But Matt's in a situation now where he can't just continue to have good matches. He's got to keep getting put in good stories that where he can kind of further show substance of him, where he's just not a, whoa, dude, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he needs.
I think it's also hard. Well, I think it's also just hard because of the problem we talked about last week. And like I hinted at with the joke I made earlier, like Roman's never there and there's only one world champion right now, which means there's not a whole lot for people on the higher end of the card to do.
Yep. Spot on, which I guess is one of the reasons why Hunter keeps bringing back people.
Yeah, like, because he's got to give people something to do. But I also just, I said it last week, and I'm going to keep saying it. How long is USA going to put up with this? How long is USA going to allow it to continue before they're like, okay, no, but really, I need you to put a world champion on our show?
It's going to happen. If not before Mania, directly after. It's we will not see this time next year and there's not a title on both shows. I don't see it. But no, you wanted to give some love to Gunther Sheamus, which I think was the best match of the week.
Word to Swerve
and Keith Lee and Acclaimed, that was great. And word to Ricochet and Melo, that was great. But Gunther Sheamus was everything I wanted. Go ahead.
Oh no, that's literally all I wanted to say, is that Gunther and Sheamus was an amazing fucking match, and like Gunther is everything, and Imperium is everything, and
they're back, by the way. Vinci is officially called up.
Yeah, I love Imperium, so like, long live the Imperium. I'm here for it. It's wonderful. Thank you, and good night.
great show. Worlds Collide was great. Pretty Deadly is your tag team champions. Damon Kemp, Gable Stevenson's big brother, destroyed Diamond Mine and turned on Roddy and the Creeds.
Yeah, apparently he's the Stevenson that they're high on now. Gable is not in the high.
The irony of that, right? The worst thing for him was going back to school, I think, because there's nothing he could have got from NCAA. And he got $1 million contract waiting for him in WWE. He's not training. So whatever happens with him, Mandy is the unified NXT Women's Champion. Braun, of course, is the NXT unified champion for the men. And we've talked about AEW ad nauseum. It was a fantastic week. We still got SmackDown to come. SmackDown, I'm looking forward to, because you finally get a chance to see the full bloodline back together and what Sami Zayn's going to say about it.
Yeah. Braun
Strowman's coming. I need to hear what Drew got to say. I don't think Gunther and Sheamus is over yet, because Sheamus wants a rematch. A lot of good things on that brand happening.
I feel like Braun's got to be coming to beat up the bloodline and scream, "Roman, I'm not finished with you," right?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Like, that's got to be what he's going to do, right?
And again, story continuity, Braun's last match in the E, Roman beat him for the title.
Well, I mean,
I get it.
And I mean, like we keep saying about a lot of people these days, and I think that it's great because it just means more people are going to actually appreciate Roman for how good that he is. Roman is Braun's best opponent. Roman has always been Braun's greatest, like, person 100%. To work with, has always 100%. Been the person who gets the best out of him. The whole reason that we even care about Braun Strowman at all is because back when everybody still was on the fuck Roman train, Braun satisfied that urge by just being a giant unstoppable force that would comically beat the shit out of him.
Great point.
Well, I remember forget, the moment at the time, like, and the reason why we get pissed when it comes to Braun is because they failed to capitalize on that lightning in a bottle.
Yes.
Because that was during the height of Suplex City's reign of terror over the fucking card. The only reason we cared about Braun in the beginning, I will forever remember the fucking moment when Roman is on the stretcher and he's just like, "I'm not finished with you," and he flips the fucking stretcher over.
That was like that segment was supposed, we thought it was gonna go like 5 minutes, ended up being fucking 15. Like, "I'm not finished with you," like three times. Flip the ambulance. So that's ridiculous stuff.
It was so great.
Two more quick hits real fast. Triple H got promoted again to being, and it's not a, it's a technical promotion in money and name, but it's basically what he was doing. He's the chief content officer, which basically means he's overall stuff driving content. So creative, talent, all that stuff. And Sean got promoted to, I guess, Triple H's own spot, senior VP of talent.
Nick is slowly but surely completing their original mission of actually running the company. Before, it was some like political bullshit that they were doing. No, now they for real, just out here running the company. And if Big Daddy wanted to come, they would find a job for him.
Everybody knew that Hunter was going to be in some type of capacity in a suit. But Sean, and I'm saying this as a Shawn Michaels fanboy, Sean, the irony is, and to put full circle, put a bow on this and go full circle, and we can kind of put a bow on this here. CM Punk is a Bret Hart, like he prays at the altar of Bret Hart, but he's acting like Shawn in 97.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, he thinks he's Bret.
He thinks he's
the Bret.
It's hilarious.
He so thinks he's the Bret here. And it's like, nah, dog, you're the worst version of Shawn, because, like, you've divided the locker room. You've divided the locker room.
Your fault. You have possibly affected their business.
Yeah, you out here talking about you here to run business. You like have potentially fucked up the business big time.
They're gonna get a huge rating tonight, because I haven't watched a full episode of Dynamite in months.
Aha, mintot.
So we'll see what they do next week, but I got nothing else. It's all,
yeah,
it's all
you. Nah. In the meantime, y'all, you can catch me on Twitter at Dr. S'mores. You can catch the good brother Rants on Twitter at
It's Ray Cash. That's R-E-Y as in Mysterio. C-A-S-H as in the dollars. Hopefully Tony ain't got to pay to that fuck ass no more.
You can catch the show on Twitter at Outsiders Edge CS. As always, we are part of the Chairshot Radio Network at Chairshot Media, where you
always use your head like Dick Jackson.
Hey, 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 hey. And as always, y'all, we here at the Outsiders Edge podcast are some increasingly less young gentlemen doing everything we can trying to make it out here in this world. And sometimes we're going to hit you with them hard facts like, we told you CM Punk was a little bitch. And other times we're going to hit you with them equally hard facts like, we told you you can't let the boys run the company.
Y'all need to listen to us, basically.
But no matter what, y'all, we just out here chasing our dreams, and you got to respect that.
Hey, real fast. Who's the one who said, who's the person that said that quote we use?
Ooh, I believe it was one man who is crumbling under the weight of his own toxicity.
Oh, the irony. By the way, fuck him and fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.